Okay, Rabbi Yisrael, let us begin. Let us begin. We're up to the laws of Hanukkah. Okay, what kind? I'm going to run through a lot of things very quickly. What kind of candles should a person use in light for Ner Hanukkah? So today the minhag is, this is a big sugyan of itself. We won't spend a lot of time on this. We are today under the impression, which is correct, that we should imitate the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Shemen Zayis Zach. Shemen, since the miracle that what we do today is a zecher for what happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and the menorah lasted, the oil was only enough oil to last for one day and miraculously lasted for 8 days. So therefore we try to copy, to mimic exactly the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash by using Shemen Zayis Zach. The wicks should be wicks like cotton wicks, which are in the Beis HaMikdash. What kind of wicks do they use? They use cotton wicks. If I'm not mistaken, they use cotton wicks. And if whatever they did in the Beis HaMikdash, that's exactly what we want to do today. And you should be aware, now there's another inyan. I'm sorry for being stuttering. Let's go slow. Not everyone agrees with this principle. This is a sugya. I don't remember the details. I'm just throwing this out. That just because the Nes Chanukah occurred for the menorah, and the menorah, there's Shemen Zayin Zach, whoever said that when we light Hanukkah candles, the Chazal were misakin that it should be specifically of Shemen Zayizach with a nair, with a wick of a cotton. Who says it should be exactly the same way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash? Chazal are not trying to make it difficult for us. Chazal were misakin to light nairos. That's all they said. Nair ish ubeisoi. There's no Chazal that says the Nair is Shemen Zayizach. Chazal are not trying to make us meshuga. If the miracle happened, the menorah. We don't light a menorah. You're not allowed to light a menorah. The menorah is only limited to the Beis HaMikdash. A menorah has seven Neiros. If you make a candelabra of seven Neiros, you're in violation of a pasuk in the Torah that the only candelabra of seven Neiros can be in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no such thing as having a candelabra today of seven Neiros. It's usher. It's clearly usher in Shulchan Aruch. We're not trying to mimic the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Nowhere does it say in the Gemara you have to have Shemen Zayizach Kosis Lama'ar Lahalois Ner Tamid. Doesn't exist. And in fact, there are Poskim. I don't remember. We spent one time when last year, 2 years ago, we spent time on this going through the Makoros. There's no Makar. And some hold there's absolutely no requirement that it should be anything other than a Ner. You can use wax, candles, whatever you want. A Ner. What are the qualifications of a Ner? There should be a receptacle, there should be fuel, and there should be a wick. That's Chazal's definition of a Ner. A receptacle can be anything. Can be metal, plastic, can be not plastic, so you shouldn't use plastic, it's dangerous. Use glass, metal, whatever you want, and cheres, a wick, any type of wick you want.
A candle by itself.
The wax is the fuel, and the cotton cord is the wick.
So
you're saying very good. He's saying something very good. Therefore, can you take wax candles and just melt it onto a table?
Right.
So it's not ideal. But it's not correct. The wax candle should be in a receptacle, because Chazal used the words ner ish ubeisoy. A ner is a receptacle. In the receptacle, you put fuel and you put a wick. So to take a wax candle and to glue it, to melt it onto a table, is not correct. Yoytze, it says, Beferish in the Poskim, Yoytze, because the ikar is that there should be light. Yoytze b'diya, but it's definitely not correct to do such a thing. It should be in a receptacle. Three elements. You need a receptacle, you need fuel, and you need a wick. What about then an electric? Now, so therefore, there's not necessarily a requirement that you need oil and even Shemen Zayis. And in fact, it's a fact of life. There's no denying, rewriting history. Not so long ago, years ago, there was no hakpada to use for Hanukkah candles Shemen Zayizach. They used wax candles because olive oil was very rare. It was not available. It was very expensive. It was hard to get, going back in Poland and Europe, different parts of the world, different times of history. It was not a big deal. It wasn't an issue. People didn't even bother dealing with olive oil. They light candles. Whatever you have available, it should be clear candle. You light candles. That's all that counts. Who says Chazal demanded of us that it should be Shem and Zayin? Because that's the menorah. The menorah, we don't light the menorah. The menorah is in the Beis Hamikdash. It's a zecher for the menorah. The menorah has seven branches. We have a menorah that has eight. It's a whole different thing. Okay, that is what I just told you now is heresy. Don't people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear what I just told you. It's true what I said. What I said is absolutely true. Today, it's not the minog Yisrael. A minog also counts for something, okay? So don't take it lightly. Hanach lahem li Yisrael im einam neviim b'nei neviim. And therefore, the minog Yisrael today is to use tzvi machader, is that there is something to it. It's to use the Chanukah to mimic, to imitate the way it was in the Beis Hamikdash, the menorah was shemen zayizach, to use bedavka shemen Zayis, olive oil, and it should be pure. That's why it says on the Bible, virgin olive oil, the first. And virgin olive oil, Shemen Zayizach, and cotton wick, we try to do it the way it was in the time of the Beis Hamikdash by the menorah. Oh, you see that? And in shuls, very rarely. And even you should know this, there are some shuls today that preserve this. Even though people in the home, they adopt to use the oil, all the oil, in shul, there's still resistance to use bedavka wax candles. Not because of any safety feature, not because, this is how we've always done it in shul. See, at home, no one remembers, you have children who come from yeshiva, you know, when you come from the kids, oh, we were Hashem and Zayis, they saw us in yeshiva, Hashem and Zayis. Okay, so in your home, you just do what everyone else does. But in shul, you know, we remember the people of the Kehillah have a strong Kehillah. All these big Kehillahs are dying out. You don't have but the Kehillahs, we've always used in the Beis HaKnesses wax candles. So you're not going to fool me. Maybe at home your children came from yeshiva, they've brainwashed you that you should use Shem and Zayis. But in shul, don't rewrite history. We've always used in the Beis HaKnesses, the Hanukkah candle in the Beis HaKnesses, wax candles. And there are some of the old-time shuls, they still use in the shul only wax candles. Because it's very hard to find a source that demands, that will tell you that this was the takana of Chazal, that you should lechatchila use oil. It doesn't exist. Chazal made a takana to Rav Ner, a zecher for the miracle of Chanukah, to have light, or... They didn't tell you, it's not part of the takana that it has to be like the menorah of Shem and Zayisach. It's a beautiful minuk. It's a beautiful minuk which today is done very easily, and we're looking to be mahader, Baruch Hashem. Years ago, it wasn't even possible in many locations because it was just too expensive, or it didn't even exist to find olive oil. Some people, if they could not get olive oil, they use other types of oils. There was definitely a minhag of using different types of oils, because if you can't get olive oil, so you use another oil as a zecher. And some even want to argue, this is a very fascinating concept, why is there a minhag to eat donuts on Chanukah or latkes, to eat a food item that is fried in oil? So someone to suggest is because since for many generations olive oil was unavailable and the people lit Chanukah candles with wax candles, in order to compensate, and people should remember that the oil that was used in the Beis HaMikdash was, the candles in the Beis HaMikdash was not a wax candle, And maybe there is an Indian of a hider, a minute to use olive oil. We don't have today. In those generations, it was not available. It was too expensive for the average man. So we, in order as a zecher, for the oil that we should be using for the menorah, they took food items and they fried it in other types of oil, which are not good for lighting candles. Cottons, whatever, the different types of oil, whatever type of oil, the oils that you use to make latkes, that oil is not going to work for your Chanukah menorah, by the way. Don't try it. Yeah. Don't try to take donuts the oil. If you take the oil that they use to make donuts and you put it into your Chanukah menorah, yeah, it's not going to light. It's going to go out. It's a different type of oil. And that oil is very cheap. Olive oil is, now because they know the Jews want it, they made it very expensive. It used to be years ago, if you go into ShopRite and you buy olive oil, you can buy it for pennies. Go into Eichler's, you buy a thing, they charge you an outrageous amount of money. you go into, you go, it used to be, if you go into ShopRite and you buy a big canister of olive oil, it was nothing. Mamish peanuts compared to what they would, if you would buy that amount of olive oil, and Alex would charge you a few hundred dollars. Today, they caught on what's going on. They know what's going on, and therefore, you go into ShopRite, it's not so cheap either.
I think Italians cook a lot of olive oil.
Don't they tell you?
They call
olive oil industry is controlled by the
mafia.
A lot of so-called extra virgin.
Extra virgin. It's not really extra virgin. That's a fraud.
Yeah.
Right. It's not perfect. It's a fraud. It's not. There's no control. It's not.
On a Friday night, you next week will tell you. If you don't have to use those small little things, tea lights.
Tea lights, much safer. It's much safer.
You have 3 hours.
The tea lights are very good. The tea lights are clean. It's a metal receptacle. It has the wax and oh, it's perfect. It's not going to burn. It's not dangerous. It's stable. They're very, the tea lights are ideal. If you want to be safe, if you're in a situation where you're afraid of sakana, the tea lights are gold for Hanukkah. You just take your tea lights and put them down on a counter, because the tea lights have a receptacle. There's a receptacle. That's the nair. The wax is the fuel. The cotton is the psila. You got it all there. You don't need any menorah. You don't need anything else. Just take the tea light, put it down, and being that it's flat, it's not going to tip over. There's very little you have to worry about. And I'm telling you, safety first. Everyone knows that. Today we live in a very dangerous world. Safety first. First thing you have to be sure of, there's no danger. But tea lights is really a very, very ideal type of item to use for Hanukkah candles in an environment where you cannot, where you want to focus on safety. Even if you have children running around, or you're going away, or this or that, whatever it is, that's the best thing. It's muhudur muhudur. It's not oil. You don't need to be oil. Oil is a minhag. It's a minhag. It's a beautiful minhag. And hanach lehem liyisrael. Adrabah, you shouldn't. People tell you, I see many people tell you being mahader, when they light ner Shabbos. When they light ner Shabbos, who didn't use wax candles forever? Now it became a new thing that in a, that they use now. In some people, they do them all, or some, they have two of them, two of the candles, they light shemen zayis, olive oil. They are like Hanukkah candles, they do, because that's what it says in Chazal. The ideal type of oil is shemen zayich. Harogel b'ner, havin loy banim, talmidei chachamim. People want the zuchus. If you rogel, you do meticulously the mitzvah of ner, which includes all neros. Ner Shabbos, ner Hanukkah. It's a zuchus to have wonderful children. So today it's a little bit different, but these are minhagim. Let's not confuse a minog with halacha. Chazal were never misaking that your Hanukkah candle should be shemen zayich. They were misaking to light oil, candle. It's a minog to use shemen zayich. What is the toikef, the strength of that minog? It's a very tough question. The minog is, it appears to be a strong minog, a very strong minog, but it's an historical fact that for generations it was not done, because it was just simply not available. And it was either too expensive, and people did not spend their life savings to go import shemen zayis. People gave up their life to have matzah for Pesach. But no one gave up their life to have for Hanukkah shemen zayis. It just didn't happen like that. So therefore it shows that the toikef of the minig is not as strong as we may think it is. We obviously today we take it very seriously. And the nafka mean, the nafka, okay, what do you want to say?
According to the opinion of the morale,
yeah.
Says,
Pum Fakert?
Yeah.
It's a takon of Chazal?
You cannot fulfill the mitzvah with a candle. You look it up. Chodesh HaGadol cannot. He has a swear, why there? It's only that.
Okay, if you say the morale, I'm not going to argue, but
the, probably said that's Yafet.
Okay, yeah, it could be. I'm not, if you say, I believe you 100%, but does not appear to be the mainstream opinion. It's a. Absolutely, absolutely. Without any question whatsoever, you can use it. You a heksher? Money. Amcha Yisrael Tshrichim Parnasa. What's so terrible? You give them a few dollars. People who probably do this, some of them very poor. You don't even know who's doing it. Some of them very poor. This is the Parnasa. You give another Jew Parnasa, so you give them a few more dollars than it really cost. If someone is a multi-billionaire, is making another million, okay, that's not nice. Some of these people, look, it's the parnassos, they make a few dollars. So the Adarabba, when you buy your Hanukkah oil, you're doing a chesed. You're giving someone parnassos. Could very well be. I mean, it all depends. You have to know the stories. I know someone. Somebody once gave me money for Sfar. I said, I'm not looking to take handouts. So he says, no. I'll tell you what. Here's the money. I want you to buy Sfarim. And you know what? Buy Sfarim that where you'll be Mahana the Mechader. You go into Beagle Eyes, and there's certain people, they publish Sfarim, because they learn the whole day, they learn, and they put out a Sefer. Every dollar you give them, you buy the Sefer, it means something. Okay, you buy from a big publishing company, you know, the money just goes into a black hole somewhere. You know, whoever's making money, the difference between $10 million and $11 million doesn't make a difference. But if you give money to a private person who publishes a private Sefer, and he spent his life savings to go publish a private Sefer, you give him a few dollars, you know, it means something to them. So, you know, a lot of the things when you buy a little of an esrei, they're ripping you off. We all know that. It's the biggest fraud. We all know that. And we know all these things. But if you are clever, you can take advantage of it. And you can find people that this is their parnasa. They're good, hard-working people. They have a big family to support. And this is the business. And you bedafka go to them instead of going to someone else. You're doing an incredible mitzvah. Anyway, you're going to spend the money because the whole society is ripping you off. So you might as well be ripped off by a person to whom you're doing chesed with. You're giving him parnasa. You have to know how to play the game the right way so everyone comes out at the end as a winner. Okay, you have to... No hashkacha issues whatsoever. Now let me tell you something extreme. There's an extreme idea where that not only I don't know where this comes from, but they say these new things I never heard of or saw before, is that the oil should be rohoy limenochis. The oil, I don't know what it's based on. There has to be some pasuk, some chazal. Not only is the oil, this is what you really are addressing, not only is the oil fit for light, for light, the oil is also fit for menochis. Now, in order for the oil to be fit for the sim sechta menochis, there are certain conditions that must be met. Now, I don't know. Again, I don't know all the details, but that means it has to be what's called cold pressed, which means there are different types of technology that are used today to produce olive oil. Some of those technologies would be invalid for using in the Beis Hamikdash as an ingredient in the menochos. I don't remember, we learned Afyon Misach the menochos. There are certain very precise rules on what type of oil is fit for a mincha. If you go to the supermarket and ShopRite and you buy the Italian virgin, extra virgin olive oil, it's probably not kosher to be used in the Beis HaMikdash when you bring a carbon mincha. So if you want to be able, that additional hiddur that it should be used. Okay, Rabbi says, I'm getting dizzy over here.
Is this what you're looking for?
Okay, so we're afterwards. It's not important. If you want to be able to use or that extra hiddur that should be used, kosher l'menochos, there are other conditions which must be met, which you're not going to find in ShopRite, and you're not going to find in Eichler's either. And I was last year, this time of the year, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I was in front of Mir Yeshiva, and there was someone that was selling this type of oil, which had a Heksha, and it had on it, I think I even took a picture, I think I have it on my phone somewhere, I have to go dig it up. It had all of the milois of this oil, it cost a fortune, of course, right? Of course, it was a good business.
What?
Olives! It has to be olives,
so
of course. But how do you extract the oil? There are different techniques. There are different techniques that are used to extract the oil, and how much of the oil is fit is kosher l'menochos. There are different techniques and different and in a chanami there is something to it. There is definitely cider that there's a minhag. How far do you want to go in the minhag of using oil? Do you want to use oil that's indeed kosher l'menochos, or are you satisfied with just olive oil? It doesn't have to be extra virgin olive oil. Then, if you don't have olive oil, there is such a thing that if you use another type of oil, that can produce a nice light, so that it should resemble to a degree the oil in the Beis HaMikdash. And if you can't use olive oil, so you can't use olive oil, so you use a wax candle. Okay, these are the various. Now, how does this translate into electric menorah? can you use an electric menorah to be yotze yuchiyev of hadlokas neiros? So the answer is, as everything else in halacha, is a machlokes. What are the issues? Electric menorah, do you fulfill all of the conditions? Do you have a ner, a receptacle? Do you have fuel? Do you have a pesila? And are you doing a maise hadlaka? We pass in hadlaka oisa mitzvah. It's igniting, lighting the ner. An electric lamp that's plugged into the wall, you can argue has a receptacle, it has a ner. You can argue it has a pesila, it has a wick, the filament. Now let's first discuss the incandescent bulbs before we discuss the fluorescent and the LEDs. Let's discuss the traditional incandescent bulbs. A traditional incandescent bulb, which is probably a relic already, almost, it's out the window, doesn't exist anymore, okay? Everyone is very swiftly removing them from society. There's a receptacle, and there is a filament. The filament is the pesila. It gets red hot. And there's a receptacle. Where is the shemen? Where is the fuel? The fuel is in the electricity line going back to some power plant, probably originating from New York, from Niagara Falls somewhere, into going through multiple. Is that equivalent to the ner, to the shemen of Chazal's definition of a ner, where the fuel is self-contained within the receptacle? Absolutely not. It's not there. The fuel is traveling continuously through a whole grid of electric power, all the way down to a source where it's generated either in a coal mine or wherever they generate the electricity and they store it. I don't know how they store it exactly. It's very confusing to me how this works. But it's definitely not in the receptacle of your Ner Shel Chanukah. Therefore, many argue that you're not Yoytze. If you go and you use an electric incandescent bulb, you're not Yoytze the Mitzvah because you don't have Shemen. Now, there's another issue, and that is you have to do a Maise Hadlaka. How do you turn on a light bulb? Do you take a match, and light the filament? No, you turn on the switch. Is turning on the switch called a Maise Hadlaka? It's definitely not the traditional form of Hadlaka. Hadlaka means you light the psila. The psila, the wick, is in the ner, and you light the psila. I'm not lighting the psila. I'm turning on a switch. Current is flowing into the bulb, and there is some type of device which causes the filament to get red hot, and now there's illumination. Is that in halacha called a maise hadlaka? Chanukah is hadlaka oisa mitzvah. You must do a maise hadlaka. When it comes to Mitzvah Shabbos, and you need Eish, I don't need a Maise Hadlaka. I just need there to be Eish. But here I need a Maise Hadlaka. So many argue there's another flaw in using an electric candle. Some say, no, it's good enough. You've done a Maise Hadlaka. Who says the fuel has to be in the receptacle? As long as the fuel is there? It's there. The fuel is out there. The fuel is out there, and the fuel it's sustained.
What, to recite a bracha?
To recite a bracha.
Who holds like that?
There are poskim that hold it's okay.
Even though you're not really.
Yeah, turning on the switch. I told you it's a machloek. I'm just presenting you the issues. What?
The issue might be you plug it in with loose bulbs and then you turn it
on. Oh, you're saying something very good. You're saying something very good. I like what you say. I never heard this before. Okay, he's saying something very good. He's saying is that if you don't turn on the switch, but instead you turn the bulb, so that's more of a Maisa Hadlaka. That's a more direct Maisa Hadlaka. That's a beautiful svara, what he's saying. Beautiful idea. So maybe in a chanami. Okay, but if you don't, you turn on the switch, so it's a machlagis apoyskim. That's called the grammar. I'll tell you, ad kadei kach. Here's something that's shocking. It says in the Chanukah say that it's shocking. You know, in America, there's a death penalty. So one of the how do the states execute human beings, Rahman al-Islam, when so there are different techniques. What is the popular technique today? Lethal injection. No, they don't do execution anymore. Electrocution is viewed to be barbaric. Okay, that stopped. They no longer in America do electrocution. Today they do a lethal injection. Today the choice of death, and it's a horror because almost every time they don't know what they're doing. No one wants to do it. And, you know, no one wants to be the one that injects a serial murderer. No one wants to do it. I remember Giuliani after 9/11. I remember it was in the news. He told Bush when Bush came to Ground Zero. And he had a private conversation with George. They went, what was they talk about? So Giuliani said to Bush that when you find Osama bin Laden, I want to be the one to push the button. I want to be the one to inject him, whatever. However you're going to kill him, yeah. I'll be the one to actually to execute the... Whether you electrocute him, whether you shoot him in the head, whether you hang him, or whether you inject him with... poison, whatever you want to do. Now, today in America, hanging, no way. They don't do that. That's barbaric, right? It's probably a lot less painful. Who knows? Okay, electrocution is barbaric. Shooting in China, they shoot people in the back of the head. Okay, it seems like they kill a lot of people every day there. And they pay people. It's a high-paying job because No one wants to go shoot people in the back of the head the whole day. In America, they consider it to be lethal injection, which has been proven already many times to be the worst. It's the worst type of that. But you know what's very fascinating? What about electrocution? So electrocution, some want to say, is only a grumma. Killing a person and the other techniques, killing a person by shooting them, lethal injection, or by hanging them, is a maisa yadayim. Electricity, turning on the switch, is a grumma. And therefore, it's you're not directly killing. It's an indirect, which in halacha has consequences. That same argument is used in regard to lighting a Hanukkah menorah through turning on a switch. It's not called a maise hadlaka. It's an indirect act. I open the floodgate. The current flows. And the current does its thing. I did not do a maise hadlaka. It's considered to be indirect to your objective, to your goal. That's direct. That is clearly direct. It's a chet, shooting an arrow. Shooting an arrow. Shooting an arrow is misa biyodayim. It's clear in halacha, shooting an arrow. But turning on an electric current is a discussion. No clarity. It's not okay halacha l'maisa. No clarity. But when it comes to, this is an argument made that it's not a way to be kind of the mitzvah because you're not doing a maisa halakha. So what are the two problems with an incandescent bulb? There are two problems. The fuel is not contained. Number two, you're not doing a maisa halakha, but you do have an air, you can't deny that, and you do have a psila that has that advantage. Now, you mentioned a very good solution is not to turn on the switch, but to turn the bulbs. Now, what about if you have a flashlight? The Hanukkah menorah is not connected to the grid, but rather it's plugged into a battery power. It's plugged into a generator. It's plugged into a self-dependent battery. Or it's, you have flashlights. I put on the table, third on Hanukkah, three flashlights. That's much better. Much, much better to use an incandescent bulb. If you can find one in the store, probably 99 cent stores, they still have incandescent flashlights, which have a regular filament, and there's a battery. A regular self-contained, that is much, much better. Takes away the problem of hadlaka. And there are many places that say you can make a bracha. If a person is in the hospital, where they will not allow you, or on an airplane even on an airplane, where they will not allow you to light candles on a hard off, today's day and age, to light a candle on an airplane, on a hospital. So what you're supposed to do, the next best thing is to get an old-fashioned incandescent flashlight. Even one candle is even one, and you can according to many paiskim, you can make a bracha because you have all of the fuel is contained in the battery cells. So you have the shemen, and you can view the entire flashlight as one big ner. The whole flashlight is considered to be one big ner. You have a flashlight, has batteries inside. The plastic of the flashlight is the ner. The batteries inside is the shemen, and the filament all the way on the top is the psila. It all goes. You got it all there. You got it all there. And everyone agrees that a wick, a metal that gets red, burning red hot, is called fire. It's called Aish. So you got everything there. You make the bracha and you turn on the switch. It's not ideal, of course. Okay, but not everyone agrees. You can make a bracha. Not everyone agrees. It's can make a bracha. But there are opinions. I have to see exactly who says what. You definitely take away a lot of the issues if you use a flashlight where everything is contained within the item.
For 30 minutes?
Yes, it must. Of course. Of course. And the battery must be able to last for 30 minutes. If it's not going to last for 30 minutes, it's no worse than lighting a candle that doesn't have enough oil for 30 minutes.
Or,
you have to have the battery must be able to last for at least a half an hour and without changing, go continuously. Now, what about fluorescent, the compact fluorescent bulbs and LED? I really don't know the answer. It would appear that it's much, much more of a problem. It's a problem on many fronts. Number one, it's not necessarily called Aish. The illumination that you see over here coming out of these ultra high tech, these are the mamash, the cutting edge. They put over here when they read the show about a year ago, cutting edge, these fixtures. They're extremely popular now. They're really nice. These are LEDs. These LEDs, what you're seeing now, is this called Aish? It's a hard sell. It's not necessarily called Aish. So it's not called R. You can't even, the whole shah doesn't even begin. Lahalik ner shel Chanukah. Ner means there's Aish. This is called Aish? Fluorescent, some hold is Aish. Because there is a filament. There is a filament which gets very hot, which causes the gas to glow. So there's room to wiggle when it comes to the compact fluorescents.
No heat.
When it comes to the LED, these how the technology works, I don't know. I don't understand. But it does not seem from the Paiskin, it seems that it's a big, big problem. It would not qualify as Aish.
So they rewrote the electrical code with these. You can... they can put something like 87 of these fixtures on one circuit breaker.
Right, because they use very little electricity.
Right.
Saves energy. So Con Ed just raised the prices for electricity. We don't save any money.
Unbelievable.
Right, they don't save any money. Just raise the prices. Yeah. They have to get their money no matter what. They're going to get their money no matter what. No matter what. So if we're using less electricity, so just raise the price. That's how it goes. Terrible. But in any event, the whole question doesn't even begin because it may not technically be called Aish. No one has clarity on this. Not. Number two, where is the psila? There is no psila. In LED, these diodes, there's no psila. What wick is there? There's no wick. Where's the shemen? The shemen is also, it's flowing through the car. You have too many problems. You light it up, it's agrama. There are way too many problems. In the hospitals, they have now for Shabbos candles, they have basically, they give nashim these are little like tea lights, which are LEDs. They're very cute. Very cute. I'm sure you've all seen them at some point in time. Okay, it's better than nothing. Okay, it's the spirit of Shabbos. Are you yoytze the halakas neiros of Shabbos? Are you yoytze the Chanukah? Not mistaver. So you do it better than nothing. What?
Can you make a bracha on it?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. You can't make a bracha. The Shabbos, you don't make a bracha. Are you accomplishing anything? Why even bother? Why even bother if you're not accomplishing anything?
Rav spoke that you are accomplishing something that
Oh wait, the Chanukah.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's a chesh, because Besuma Nisa has to be according to Chazal. Chazal gave you the guidelines how to be Mepharis in the Nes. You're putting a big banner, Happy Chanukah. Happy Chanukah. Is Besuma Nisa? No, so why is lighting the LEDs Besuma Nisa? It doesn't qualify for anything. It's a nice thing. It produces illumination. Is that it's not called Aish. It's not, there's no Psilo. There are too many issues. It's Me'ein. It's the spirit of Yom Tov. All right, that's a beautiful thing. No one's denying it. So in those situations, the woman who is in the hospital, she gives birth or something, you have to tell someone to have kavana for you at home. When they're lighting candles at home, you're mishtatef with them. And maybe it might not work in halacha, so then there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can possibly do. Oynis rachmana patra. You're mishtatef with someone where you live. My home is in this location. When they light at home, it includes me as well. Does that really cover me? Maybe yeah, maybe not. It's machloikis. If it covers me, I'm yoytze the mitzvah. If it doesn't cover me, then there's walk you do. Oynis rachman patra. You can't make those meshugas. That's how it is. You make someone a shliach to light for you in home. You fly on the airplane, you're going to be at the whole night. So you make the people you live at home, when they light, they're going to light for you. You yoytzei that way. If you come to a location, you see someone else's neiros, you can make the bracha of she'osa nisim. You don't make the bracha of lahalik ner shel Chanukah, but you can make the bracha she'osa nisim. If you yes. If you're in a person, Rachmanos is in a hospital, and if he open from the window, he can see someone's neiros from across the street or anywhere. He can make the bracha lahal she'osa nisna v'seinu bayamim ha'im hazman hazeh, and on the first night you make the bracha shechayonu. Can you make the bracha lahalik ner shel Chanukah? If you go into the 99-cent store and you buy an old-fashioned incandescent flashlight, you can still get them. You can still get them online for sure. Old-fashioned incandescent flashlight, and you put in their batteries, and the batteries will last for half an hour, then you can make a bracha according to most places, not according to everyone. You can make a bracha and you just leave it on. If you do, but you should also, you should write on the flashlight L'Shem Chanukah. It should be noticeable that it's L'Shem Chanukah. It should not be like you walk in, this flashlight, because a part of the halacha, it has to be nikkur that this ner is being lit L'Shem Mitzvah Chanukah. If it's not nikkur that it's being lit L'Shem Mitzvah Chanukah, then it's also in a loyotza. So you have to take on the flashlight and design it and write in the Chanukah, do something to show that it's L'Shem Mitzvah, and you put it on the table and you light it. Even one arrow, you have many arrows. The new technology available today, you cannot make a bracha. You cannot make a bracha. Are you yoytze to some degree? Maybe yeah, maybe no. Not so sure. What do you do in this situation? You don't make it. You mamani. You tell someone at home when you light. You have kavanah that your lighting at home should be for me as well. And then even after that, if you're in a hospital room and you can see outside the window, you can see from far someone else's neiros, and you know for sure the neiros Chanukah. You can validate these are for sure neiros Chanukah that someone has lit. You make the bracha she'asa nisim lavaseinu bayamim b'hem hazman hazeh and shechiyanu the first night. That's what you're supposed to do in these types of situations. Okay,
according
now,
to those poskim that say we can use battery for Chanukah, they can use also for the Mitzvah Shabbat.
Mitzvah Shabbos, it's not a matter, it's a matter of Eish. It's an entirely different din. It's not a matter of Hadlaka. Chanukah demands a kindling, a lighting. Hadlaka oisa mitzvah. Mitzvah Shabbos, you don't need to light. Put fakarit. Ner Shavas is ideal. It would be more ideal in Mitzvah Shabbos, every Mitzvah Shabbos, we don't do this, to use a Nair that was lit before Shabbos. You don't light the Nair. You don't light the Nair. So there it's a matter of Ish. When you see fire, you can make the bracha lahalik,
real fire,
or what's called real fire. So it used to, real fire in halacha, an incandescent bulb with a filament, is a filament. In the olden days, you walk into the street. You go out into the street. So you come home and you see the old fashioned bulbs. So you go, you walk in, you come out of shul. So you can make bari mareish on the streetlights. Not anymore today, because they replaced every streetlight in the entire city. Every hole has been replaced with these new ultra high tech LED bulbs, which is it called eish? Maybe yeah. In Pashas, it's not. So you can't make on the LEDs boire meoire ho eish. But you have to know not all they're not always using LEDs. The city they use other technology. Halogen, they use other technology, which may sometimes in halacha be equivalent to an incandescent bulb. It's not all the same. Okay, commercial lighting is not all LED. Home lighting is all LED. Commercial lighting, there are other technologies that you can, not available to the common man. But the city, they have different things made for them specially, and they work differently. There's different types of things going on, and some of them may be better than what the common person has. On Chanukah, you're not allowed to, because Chanukah is also behanah. You're not allowed to make boirei meorei ho'esh mitzvah Shabbos on Chanukah candles, because ner kodesh heim, the ein lana rishus. You can though make it on the Shamos. The Shamos, you can make it on. Okay, now here's something very interesting.
Shabbat in the shul they say first ner Hanukkah, after that Abdullah, but in the home you should say.
In the home you say what?
After
okay, the order, the Seder. We'll do that another time. We have a week until Mitzvah Shabbos. We'll come to that later on. Okay, no, I'm going to go straight. Rabbi says, okay, I'm going to go straight. We have 20 minutes. We're going to go straight until Mincha. Is that okay? Yeah.
On LED, since it's not H, can you turn it on?
So, technically, listen, You should. Bottom line is no, you should not. Is a person in Mechal Shabbos? Definitely not. Definitely not. I always mention this, is that these questions are going to become more and more significant as time passes. Like today, it's not enough to help us. Why can I use a tablet on Shabbos? Why can I use what? Why can I use my smartphone on Shabbos? What azer am I doing? The average rabbi has a very, very hard time telling you what's wrong with using a smartphone on Shabbos. It's not the telephone. It's not the telephone from 20 years ago. So there's an Erev. If you have an Erev, if you have an Erev, or leave your phone in shul on Shabbos, or leave it at home, it's becoming, these are real, real issues. I heard some very chas v'rav. And this new technology, over the duchal, is it was really cool over the duchal? Why
yeah,
over the duchal?
Sure,
Well, maybe now. Well, maybe
today.
Okay, so making a phone call to your friend. But what about a tablet that's not connected to the internet to use as a sitter? I have a tablet.
Stick.
What? It's not Shabbos stick. Why is it not Shabbos stick? It's not. Is that
something you do?
Not being Shabbos stick is something that is subjective. It's subjective. You. What does it mean not being Shabbos? These, I'm telling you, are becoming. Every day passes. These are becoming very, very big issues. There's new technology always coming out. There's no question about it. That within 10 years from now, in the Geisha world, there will be no such thing as books. The older generation still likes a book. I like a book. I like paper. I can't take it. I don't like reading things. I don't like a tablet. Tablet, the culture of Kula, load the tablet out. I don't know. Just to me, it doesn't work. I like paper. But the kids in elementary school, they don't know from this. They know from one thing only. They know from a tablet. You give them a book, they don't like it. Because they're not. This is not the way they were trained. So when these children... What? But they're equally comfortable. They're probably equally comfortable with paper, and maybe your future grandchildren, they're not going to read books. They're going to be given electronic devices.
Yeah. I'm in the public school system, and it's so true what you're saying. Everything is on video now. Everything is smart board.
Everything
no
is
books.
Is paper is going out. The older generation will never adapt. Never. We like paper. There's nothing you can do to can't teach an old dog new tricks. And I'm not trying to insult anyone, but that's the way it is. But the children today in kindergarten, by the time they reach our age, will not know what a book is. This is a fact in the Geisha world. It is just a reality of life. It's new world today. And everything now is electronic tablets. You have a thin little piece of paper that has on that piece of paper all the information of the entire world. With the internet connected. Without the internet connected, it has half of the information of the world. On the paper. Yeah.
Actually, I heard a talk about this over the weekend by David Palkowitz.
In the Agudah convention.
Yes.
You see, they're talking about it. Okay? This is the topic. That's another. I'm talking about Shabbos, halacha.
What they were stressing was that kids in school, kids used to electronic devices don't think deeply. It causes superficial.
Okay, that's a separate issue. That's a psychological issue, education issue. I'm talking about halachic issue. I wanted to know halacha. Okay, so halachic. It's in the Geisha world. There's going to be no such thing as books. So what does that mean for us? So during the weekday, it's already happening. In some Batei Midrashim, you have a tablet, and you learn from the Gemara. The Gemara is here, it's crystal clear, it's amazing. And you want to see another sukkah, you just touch it, and it shows you Shulchan Aruch, also the Rabbi. If you do use it the right way, it's an unbelievable tool. Unbelievable. So very good. It's going to happen. It's not a question of, it will happen. Without any doubt, it will happen within 5 years. That's going to seem to be Shabbos. What are we going to do Shabbos? So first, what we'll do is, if you want a certain sefer, you'll have to have it. You'll have to have it in print. But most of them are not going to be available on Shabbos. That's what's going to happen. If you want something, something means so much to you, so you'll go to a store, and there'll be services, you press the button, we'll print the whole sefer for you, you'll have a Shabbos. They'll have a shulchan. You'll have a little bit. Siddurim and chumashim. The whole shul will be full of siddurim and chumashim. But then, at some point in time, I'm telling you what's happening down the road, is they're going to be, why can't we use the tablet on Shabbos also? Tell me, this is what Mr. Bloom asked me.
Not to be with Hamas Shabbos, the doctors use tablets on Shabbos.
Well, doctors are different.
Right.
Well, a doctor can be with Hamas Shabbos, Bikuch Nefesh. They lighten the prohibition by using electronical devices. Okay, so but that's not an answer for the common man. The common man, you're not allowed to do that. Common man, Shabbos is Shabbos. But why can't you use a tablet that's not plugged into the wall, has its own battery power, that is not connected to the internet? Why can't I use it on Shabbos? Define for me in words, where in Shulchan Aruch does it say that it's osur? What am I doing wrong? Am I a boiner? Is it makir patish? Is it not Shabbistic? Is it Eish? Go through every Molocha de Araisa.
I'll give you the... No? Everything today, rabbinical, is in case you're going to do something. So
we don't have the power... No.
With a tablet,
yeah.
You might charge it.
No, we don't make those new takonis. Those type of takonas of Shema were made by Chazal 1,000 years ago, and we have more even, and we have no power to add to anything new that does not already exist. We have to look at the technology and we have to understand it and define. We go through the Lamed Tes Melachos and all of the Issur D'Rabbanans that are in Shulchan Aruch and go through them meticulously and define: is it osur or is it mutter? And today I'm telling you, the biggest poskim, the biggest experts in these matters, are very confused. Right now, Baruch Hashem, it's accepted across the ganz klal Yisrael, it's osur. Osur, osur, osur. But you know, people are asking the question more and more. And as these little children in kindergarten, Baruch Hashem kin yirbu, as they get older and older and older, they're going to be asking the question more and more and more. And technology is going to advance more and more and more, where any type of issue we think may be an issue, well, we've solved that issue in halacha, and it's going to become a very big problem. Because why is it going to be a problem? Because in the beginning, there will not be an agreement. There are going to be different machanos. There's going to be a machana of Gedolei Yisrael that are going to say it's mutter, and there's going to be a machana that's going to say it's osur. I'm not going to daven in your shul, not because you use the Erev. That's an old issue that I got over with. I made peace with that already. I'm not going to daven in your shul, because in your shul, everyone davens from a tablet.
In my shul, and the rabbi's a robot.
And in my shul, we replace the women with robots. Oh, you don't need mechitza. Right. Okay, this is going to happen. Rabbi Yisai, this is reality. I'm not making up stories over here. Hotel rooms.
You say lights, and the lights go on. Is that really what?
Right now, don't even think of touching a tablet on Shabbos. It's viewed as mamish chil Shabbos deraisa.
But I heard there was one.
No. Don't make any exceptions. Don't make trouble. No. We ain't allowed. What? No one, accepted among Orthodox Jews I ever heard of. Permits this. No way. It's a tremendous zilzul in Shabbos. Now it is. Because look at the room around us. Baruch Hashem, we're at the end of a tekufa where we're still using books. In most of the major league yeshivas, it's not accepted. Really, it's not accepted to bring a tablet to Beis Medrash. They don't accept it. The major yeshivas is a distraction. Very nice. I also have a tablet at home. I also sit the whole night on the tablet, my computer, and I work. But in the Beis Medrash, for young boys, you don't need a tablet. Have a Gemara. Don't bring in devices that are going to be a distraction for everyone else. Maybe in 5 years we'll change the policy. Right now, presently, in the major yeshivas, the major league yeshivas, it is unacceptable to bring into the basement a tablet. It's not, I'm telling you, somebody sees. There are boys in the library, upstairs, downstairs, v'chulu, but in the main basement, in the big yeshivas, in Eretz Yisrael in America, no way. Not now.
I've seen.
Yeah. Okay, Navardik.
Yeah. At night.
Yeah. At night.
Where they're
they're using laptops?
At night, that's right, at night, and unofficially, and it's not, yeah, it's a much smaller yeshiva. It's not, it's a beautiful yeshiva, but it's not like, you know, major league yeshiva. In the I cannot imagine Chaim Blin doing first Seder, they would tolerate someone using a laptop or a tablet. In the library, 5 years ago, no, they would throw you out. Now, in the library, probably it's fine. You want to go use your laptop, go to the library, you want to go upstairs. But in the main base of no. 5 years from now, probably everyone will have one. I mean, that's the way it works. But what about Shabbos? Who knows? Who knows what's coming down the line? And you touched upon the Hanukkah menorah. You can't light Hanukkah candles with an app. It doesn't work like that. You need real fire. You need a ner. You need a psila. You need to do a briska maise hadlaka. You need to do, this will never change. The Torah is nitzchi. This will never change. You need to do a maise hadlaka on real esh, on a real psila, on a real... So you want to say that in maybe the years ago, for 50 years, it's been accepted. Incandescent bulb is esh. It's a ner. There's a psila. Oh, you have a shayla, the shemen. Where is the shemen? Is the shemen here? Is the shemen in Niagara Falls? No, okay. But now it's super duper complex. Right, next sugya. This is a little bit of a more of a. I found this very, very interesting. This question: why don't we light outside? Why don't we light the way the mitzvah is meant to be? Is ner ish ubeisa? Where do you light it? Chazal masakin. The Pesach Chabayis Mibachutz on the opposite side of the mezuzah. Yeah, the mezuzah on the Yemin, and then Erech Hanukkah is the Mismol. And the doorway.
It's not dangerous, outside.
Dangerous. Okay.
I think you've spoken about it.
Yes, I have done new chidushim.
Holdover from Europe.
Right. Okay, so I have new now. This is why I'm so excited. I saw over here in this wonderful sefer, Rabbi Hofstetter, I think it's his son, Rabbi, the famous David Hofstetter's son, put out a series of Svarim on Halacha, the very, very good, the different. He selects things that are definitely off the beaten path. Something very different than you're going to find in the art school type of version of this book. He has a whole different look. He selects different types of things. So this is what it says here, in a footnote maybe, but it's to me it's an eye-opener. It's a fascinating idea. Why the Iker Takana is to light Ner Chanukah on the entrance to your home on the left side. Mezuzah miyamin, and Ner Chanukah mismol. That's how Chazal were misakin. Okay, Pesumei Nisa, I guess it's the altar. You come in, it's by the door outside, you go in the house, in and out, you see it. Whatever, there's a lot of Torah, a lot of Chidushim, Drush, that's the Takana. In America, we've never done this. I mean, people, you see here and there, wherever, people have the glass case. One thing he makes very clear, I saw in all of the sermon I saw, this is very fascinating. Chazal did not require you to buy a glass box. It's a very interesting idea. Chazal with Masaka, and you light in there. Period. You light in there. If you're going to light in there, and it's so windy, it's going to go out, and you need to buy a glass box to put your menorah in so it should not blow out, that was not part of the takana. It's not. And if the wind's going to blow it out, then guess what? You potter from lighting it outside, you light it inside. So some want to say in America, in Chutzlers, in Poland, and in Europe, this time of the year, there's wind. On the average day, the Ruach Mitsuya is pretty strong, where it's not going to make it for half an hour. What about an Eretz Yisrael? It appears to be the same. It appears to be the same that in Eretz Yisrael, if you light an erech out in the street, not to the same degree, the weather there is more subdued, it's more mild. I don't really know. It's a very big question. What were Chazal thinking? They're telling you to light an erech Hanukkah on the Pesach HaBayis Mibuchutz, on the outside of your home, in the street, opposite the mezuzah, and one thing is clear as day. They did not require you to purchase or make fashion a glass box to put your menorah so the wind should not blow it out. So they're obviously dealing with a situation where the Ner Chanukah alone, in its pure, raw state, will survive a Ruach Mitzuyah for half an hour. What part of the world are they discussing? Where? It has to be Eretz Yisrael, because the miracle of Chanukah, they were massacring Ner Chanukah in the time of the Bayis Sheni, right? We assume the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah was established, that's the common assumption, during the year after the miracle happened, they were massacring Ner Chanukah. So there's something that we may be missing. Okay, that
outside your apartment or outside the building?
Let's make very, that's another discussion. That's another very good discussion, which for another time, we're not going to have time for that today. Another time, but let's discuss, you have a private dwelling home with no courtyard, and your home is right up against the street, so there's no suffix. You have a private home, it's right up against the public street. You're supposed to put your menorah outside your home, on the left side of the entranceway, opposite the mezuzah, in the public, in the street. Chazal did not require you to purchase a glass box to shelter. So obviously, in the time of Chazal, it could withstand the Ruach Mitzuyah. Which part of the world, at this time of the year, in Chodesh Kislev, is the environment cooperating with you that the Ner will survive for half an hour without being blown out?
Australia.
It's very possible, Eretz Yisrael. It is very possible.
Really,
there are parts of Eretz Yisrael where, or maybe the construction of where their homes was built in a way where the alleyways, the wind did not affect. I don't know. It's something to be discussed. But there's no one that will tell you that part of the requirement is that in order for me to light the proper way, I have to also spend money on purchasing a glass box. Now, it's a very nice thing. Okay, it's a very nice thing to mahader. And Eretz Yisrael, everyone does this. Not everyone, but it's very, very popular. So go the extra mile. Who's stopping you?
Third level of
Mahadra? So go the extra mile. It's a beautiful thing. Minhag Yisrael, people spend money on the biggest mishigasim.
Yeah, they just tell you to spend $20,000 on a menorah.
Exactly. They didn't tell you to spend $20,000 on a menorah. So if you're spending $20,000 on a menorah, so you can spend $5 more to buy a glass box. Okay, it's a beautiful minhag. Chas v'sham to say something about it. Adarabah, if you could do it, go for it. But we have to know what the Ikar Halacha is. Before you get into the Hid or the Minhagim, you have to know the Ikar. What's the Ikar? Ikar is Ner. Ikar is, you don't need a glass box. So where are we dealing with? We're dealing with a certain place. Now, in Chutz Liaretz, in addition to all of the other problems that we have, the problem of the environment, there's also Sakana. Goyim don't like Jews. It's no secret. Halacha biyadua, Esav sone Yaakov. They tolerate us. So tolerance means you can light in your home, in the window. It's very nice. But when you stick it to their face and you put it in the street outside your house, in the street in Avenue J, they don't like it. There's a mitzvah. Maybe today they don't need train. We don't even train. Everyone's so fatrach. Who's the guy that you're concerned about? It's a different world today. But in Europe, and you have Christians and Muslims, they don't like it. They don't like it, and therefore maybe they'll let us put it in the window. It's not going to provoke them. You put it in the street, so it became, Gemara says, the a sakana, when there's a sakana, manichoy al shulchanoi vidayoi, you put it not in the window, on your dining room table, you close the windows, you bring the b'nei bayis, you make the brach on the dining room table, this is Ner Chanukah. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and many gedolim did this. I know the Tenker Rav, he died not that long ago. Tenker Rav, he did this out of in Flapush. He put his Chanukah menorah on the dining room table. He made the bracha with the nebayis. This is the way.
The
take her off. Wow. Zechus v'yogin aleinu. So he put it, and then we told him, Gershon, my neighbor, Kosher, he told the Tanker Rav, he put it on the table. He doesn't understand all these people over here. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Knesset HaGedolah that says you should put it, the Mishnah Brura quotes you should put it in the window. Okay, the Mishnah Brura quotes the Knesset HaGedolah, you should put it on by the window. The Tanker Rav had a different Messiah. He says you put it on the dining room table, v'dayoy. This and then there was what?
Didn't put on the shrine when they came to America.
In the beginning, right? The Satmar, they didn't want to. The Satmar had to force his Hasidim to put on a shrine. The Satmar Hasidim told, today is Chof Aleph. Today is the big day. The Satmar Hasidim, they said, the only one who wore a shrine was the Satmar Rav. And he's walking with the first Shabbos he was here with, he came to America. He only came to visit. He didn't come to stay. He came to visit. He was in Eretz Yisrael. He was not planning on staying in America. And he was only they were walking with him Friday night. And so he said to them, "What happened to all of you?" In the haim, a nice beard, payas. You hear you walking at Shabbos, and you went to Shabbos and said, "Rebbe, in America it's different. It's different in America. You can't wear a strimal in America." So he says, "Yes, you can." Today is Chof Aleph. Strival business is booming. It's booming business.
Maybe on that time that they should put in the glass box outside, the windows were not glass. Maybe wooden. They were not
whatever. There's something called sakona.
But this day, there is glass window.
On Rabbi Sai, there is something called sakona. And even it's Yadua, Rabbi Sai, it's printed in the history books, and even in the early years of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Talmid Baal Shem Tov, they did not put the Chanukah menorah in Eretz Yisrael outside. There was sakona in Eretz Yisrael. They lit indoors. Okay, Eretz Yisrael was reestablished 400 years ago, 450 years ago, by the Talmid Baal Shem Tov and the Talmid HaGra, two groups. There were two groups. Talmid Baal Shem Tov and Talmid HaGra. They reestablished Eretz Yisrael. The Yisrael they didn't put out, so they put it indoors. Sakana. They came from Poland. Wherever they came from, they came. They did what they did in Europe for 1,000 years. Sakana, 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 pogroms, geferoch, anti-Semitism. Indoors! Al Shulchanai V'dayai. Minig Avosein Nebiyodeinu. Mashiach is not here. Who do we think we are? We own America? Sakana, we have such sleep in America, it's terrible. You have to have a bihalacha, biyadua, ace of Sayyidina Yaakov, a tznius. We don't belong in Golas, we don't belong in America, it's not America. Tznius, the Mishnah Berurah is mechadesh, it's a chiddush in the Mishnah Berurah. It's a tremendous chiddush. You put it by the window. And that's what we do, we put it by the window, we put it by the window, that's a chiddush.
Forget me that Magen Avraham says that.
What? In the window?
Yeah.
It comes from the Knesset Agdola. Magen Avraham is late. It comes from the Knesset Agdola. You put it in the window. V'dayay. It's enough. That's a chiddush also. And that's what we do. That's the Minhag Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, recently, we're talking 50 years, it became the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael to put it outside.
The boxes become very...
Boxes. Everyone has to have a box. It's part of the cost. That's part of the cost of doing business. You have to have a box. Everyone has a box. Everyone is outside. That's the Minog Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because that's the way you're supposed to do it. Oh, it's windy? It's windy? You tak a pot in Mikir Hadin. You're not Mechuyif. It will blow it out. Okay, well, Mahader. Who's so not so bit in Mahader? You put out so outside. That because the Eretz Yisrael, it's our country. Baruch Hashem. It's our country. We have a Medina. You only can put it outside because it's a Medina. When you put your menorah outside, you basically, you're a religious Zionist. If you put your menorah outside, you're acknowledging the security of the Medina. So it's a statement. I'm a religious Zionist. I'm making a joke. I don't know if I'm making a joke, if I'm being serious or not. If you live in Eretz Yisrael and you put your menorah on your dining room table, that means I'm not a Zionist. I'm a misnagit. But if you put your menorah out, what? If I put my menorah in Eretz Yisrael, I don't believe in the. If I put my menorah outside in the street, by the, you know what that means? In my opinion, it means you're a religious Zionist. Don't fake it. Don't be a faker, because that means there's no sakana. You're basically saying there is no sakana. This is my land. What do you mean there's no sakana? It's your land. Who's the balabas here? Who's the balabas here? The tzionim. What? They put it outside. That's what I told you. This is my controversial piece. If you're putting your menorah in the street in Eretz Yisrael, it means you're a secret closet religious Zionist. I don't know any other way you can explain it. Because 50 years ago, they didn't put it in the street. They put it indoors. They put it indoors. Now they're putting it in the street. Why are you so calm to put it in the street? These things, there's no sakana? What is there's no sakana? The world wants to kill us. We have a Medina. What's the no sakana? This is very controversial, but not now. Now, let's finish this up. Now, here's the chiddush. There's a tremendous chiddush, what I'm about to tell you now. This is what he says over here. I don't even know who says it. I can't remember all these, too many things to remember. Oh, information overload, like by the good convention. Information overload, all these new swamim, all these chiddushim, some incredible, beautiful chiddush. Throughout the Doiris, there's a very strange minhag, and that is to light a Chanukah menorah where? In the Beis HaKnesses. This is a very strange minhag. It's a very strange takana. Ad kidei kach, you make a bracha. in the Beis HaKnesses. This is not the Takon of Chazal. Iner Ishu Beisoi. This is the Iker Mitzvah. Ner Ishu Beisoi. Where does it come to make a bracha b'shemu Malchus in the Beis HaKnesses? It's a pillar. The answer is, it's an extension of the Takonas Chazal. It's an extension, it's a minog. It's really, it's a minog. It's a minog, and it's a minog upon which you make a bracha. It's a big dilemma. Do you make a bracha on a minog or not? The mitzvah is ner ishu beisai. Lighting a Chanukah menorah in the Beis HaKnesses is a minog. It's an ancient minog so far back, it even got the approval of Chazal that you can make a bracha on this minog. But it's a minog. How did that minog evolve? You know what the answer is? No. Let me explain to you how it evolved. Let me explain the details. There's some secrets. Let me explain how it evolved. And this says nafkamina arayay mazeh. How did it evolve? Yeah, because it was a sakana to put your menorah Pesach Beis HaMibachutz. You could not put your menorah outside because the goyim would kill us if they saw the menorah. You had to put the menorah al shulchanoi v'dayoi. Oh, but what about persume nisa in the street? What about persume nisa in the street? Out the window? So to improvise, you hear the word? To improvise, because we're not able to put the Chanukah menorah in the street and have the persume nisa before Hesia, it became a minog. The Beis HaKnesses is the street. Because the Beis HaKnesses is the place we all gather together. In when it was Shalom Al Yisrael, you put the menorah in your home, Al Pesach Beisah, so you walk, wow, I see a menorah in the street, beautiful. You come to shul, there's no need to see a menorah. A shul is not a place for a menorah. A shul is not a Ner Yishu Beisoy. It's not a Takon of Chazal. That's because you had the Pesum Nitzah. But when it became a Sakana to put the menorah in the street, you had to take it indoors. So where then is the inyan of the b'chutz and the brasume? The Beis HaKnesses took over. It took over. So now here's the issue: if we today in modern times, let's say we have Flatbush, there's zero crime, and the goyim are kissing our toes, and Eretz Yisrael is. And this, the weather is delicious outside. There's no shaila of the being blown out. Are you out? Then you know what should really happen? We should take the menorah, put it outside in the streets, with a brach, of course. Let's take a mitzvah. We're outside in the street, out of boxes, and we should stop lighting the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. It's superfluous. It's nonsense. What are you doing? No, but the only reason is because we don't put. But because the takana bizman hazer is, you lied in the Beis HaKnesses. There's no shul in the whole flab. There's not a menorah in shul when you daven, even by day. You light the menorah. They don't make a bracha by day. Now you make a bracha. You're lighting it in the shul with the bracha. It's because we're not doing it outside. If we're going to start doing it outside, then the bracha in the shul will be a bracha levatola. And we don't have the right to change because we need a Sanhedrin to tell us to stop doing this. This became the standard. So if we're going to stop making the bracha in shul, we can't do that. We're not allowed to do that. This is the Shulchan. It's the Shulchan Aruch. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you lie it in the Shulchan, exactly where, how you position it. The Neiris are in Akkadesh, v'chulu, v'chulu. You make a bracha, the whole Shulchan Aruch, what you do in Beis HaKnesses. We have no right to stop doing the Beis HaKnesses. But if you're going to start putting your menorah, the only reason why we light in the Beis HaKnesses is because we're not lighting it outside. If we're now going to assume that we live in a society that's safe and we're going to start lighting it outside, then you're not allowed to light it inside. It's hugely exclusive. That's why we don't do it. We don't do it. Anyway, we don't do it. Even there, it's shown that everyone does it. That's why. The reason is, today, even if we were so safe, here's the point. Even if today we would be so safe, let's say Lu Yitzuya, make believe the security was so good, was so safe, we would still not light our private Chanukah menorah out in the street. You know why not? Because lighting it in the shul with a bracha is the fulfillment of lighting it in the street. And since we're not going to stop lighting in the Beis HaKnesses with the bracha, because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, until we have a Sanhedrin that tells us otherwise, we can't light in the street. Because they're basically mutually exclusive. If you're lighting in the street, you don't light in the Beis HaKnesses. If you light in the Beis HaKnesses, you light indoors. Are we going to stop today lighting in the Beis HaKnesses? No way, Jose, because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, and we don't have a Sanhedrin tells otherwise. So we're going to continue doing what we're doing no matter what. If you're going to light in the Beis HaKnesses, then don't light in the street. Because lighting in the street will make your Beis HaKnesses into a bracha levatala. They're mutually exclusive. As long as we light in the Beis HaKnesses, there's no inyan whatsoever of lighting in the street. So in Eretz Yisrael, not everyone does it. That's for sure. You can't say everyone is doing it. A lot of people do it. A lot of people do it. It's popular. It's a popular thing to do. But by far, not everyone does it. It's not 90%. And maybe they don't hold it. I just told you. They don't agree to this. This is a svara. Okay, this is an approach, but it's a brilliant approach. It's a brilliant, brilliant insight. It explains so many things. And it puts together the whole thing of what is going on. No, he says only in Hofstadter. I believe I saw this in Hofstadter. Maybe I saw it in Shara. Either this or this. These two swarma, this one is absolutely gold. Shara, Yemei HaChanukah, he wrote like 10 volumes. I think this is his best one. From all the ones that I have, I think this was the best. This is each page is just packed with Yisoidos, Chidushim, Mekoyros, and this is unique. It's not, this is Hofstadter. Hofstadter, this one is by Rabbi Tezner. Tezner, he wrote already at least 10 volumes. He's a very big writer. I heard today he's big. He's like a celebrity. A celebrity. I'm not the only one who knows about him. But good stuff. Okay, so we'll stop over here.